January 21st, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we are asking everyone to make a dua, a short prayer, for our brother Imam Ali Jaber from Masjid al-Islam in Elizabeth, that he will have a successful surgery. And we ask Allah to guide the surgeon's hand to bless our brother to get well and come back to his community. So we'll open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So she knew all of those words don't agree. Worlds don't agree. They are in conflict with each other, and her child needs protection. So she gives the child the best of herself so that her child will survive when it gets out in the world. That's because it is many worlds that differ one with the other. It's a jungle, a wild wilderness, so to speak. So Genesis 22 and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In scripture at first, he made a woman. He didn't get the woman. We are getting the woman now. So the man did not say, Adam said, this is now bones of my bones. Here it makes us believe that woe means to take out, but you can't find the definition for that anywhere. So it is not the definition, but there is something implied, hinted here. Since the woman was separated from the man, now she is no more whole with the man, no more agreeable with the man, so she is the woe of the man. I want you to know, sister, this is not talking about you as a female or as a flesh biological being. The barren has borne seven. Hannah is a society unable to produce a prophet. Society is called woman. So woman, childless, can be mother to her husband. Let us look at another thing in the Bible that is very important. I want to repeat down from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5. Barren means a woman who was not able to have a child or did not have the one until that time. She was blessed. Who is this talking about? This is talking about Hannah. And I know you have heard the song, Hard-Hearted Hannah. I'm not talking about that Hannah, who is the vamp of Savannah, Georgia. Hannah was a woman who's barren. She had not given birth, and she was growing old. She had not heard she had not her husband with a child. So she wanted a child. So this made her bitter because she didn't have a child. So this is the woman nature. If they cannot give birth, what are they here for? They are here to have children. Most of them don't know that just simply because they are physically in the visual womb, their physical individual womb cannot deliver, it does not mean that they should not have children. She is a woman. She still has her nature. She has all the power, the faculty, and all of the sentiment of a woman. So the motherly nature and the motherly knowledge is there. So if she wants to be a mother, all she has to do, since she does not have a child, be a mother to her husband. Her husband needs a mother. The husband leaves the mother. He misses her. Don't think that when a man leaves his mother, he does not miss her. So what I'm talking about now, I read this verse to get on another subject, and it is, guess what is a prophet? And how is prophets born? So we have a woman here, Hannah, who is really a society, and it hasn't been able to give birth or realize amongst them a prophet, a godly inspired man who is able to give them inspired knowledge. So the society is called woman. So when you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and you will see that society is called woman. Seers are called women. Society becomes your mother. Judge becomes your father. Society all called woman. Why? Because when you leave your home, if you are born an orphan, or if you are a child in the street without parents, was going to be your mother, society. Would you grow up and leave your father's house? Who houses you? Who house do you come under? You come under the rule of society. Society becomes your mother, and the judge becomes your father. And if mother turns you over to father, you get the whipping. I'm just trying to help you so that you can read this book and make some sense of it. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 17, God destroyed Jesus' mother. Who else has power? Matthew 26:39, Jesus prayed face on ground. So he doesn't just have a Holy Ghost and a Jesus Christ working with him. Whatever force you see is working with him, even if it's working against him, it is working with him. Nothing can work against him without working with him, because if he's working against him, it's going to manifest its wrongness, its wrongdoing. It is going to manifest or prove itself wrong. It's going to prove itself inferior to God's will and plan. So in working against God in the end, that thing terrifies or testifies, pardon me, to the glory of God. So look all of his opposition. God, when you look at it in Scripture, what does it do? Does it hurt God? No. It testifies to the glory and the might of God. Isn't that right now? So see, everything serves God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, nothing comes to me in any statute except the statute of a servant. He doesn't allow any creatures coming to him as a god. You can only come to him as a servant. As what he's saying in our holy book. For all the laws that man have made, they have to have what the Creator did before they got started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in our holy book, he says, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would decide to destroy Jesus and his mother, and every creature on the back of the earth. Who could bring them back? Now, I think Jesus loved this kind of talk. Why? The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27 to 31, Son of Adam. Genesis 4, 1, Cain and Abel. War on ability, Zakira equals ability. Thinking, that's Abil. Abil was order, then, and was son of Adam. Cain was considered Eve's child. So I got a child from the Lord equal. I've taken the behavior nature from God. It's no more with God. It's obeying me. Devil, Jacob, got his start from mother who taught him how to deceive. Eve was teaching Cain equals she would be his influence, not God. Abel gave the flesh of the womb to God, and Cain gave the fruit of the ground as sacrifice. Fruit of the womb is the behavior. Abel gave his behavior to God. He obeyed God in his behavior. Cain didn't obey God in his behavior. He gave fruit of the ground equal. He thought by him progressing the intellect that he was serving God. And he thought that his aiding the intellect to develop was a greater sacrifice, or greater charity, pardon me. Sacrifice to God than obedience. The world of the wicked think our righteousness is nothing as much of a tribute to God as the advancement of science, etc. Trouble came. From Cain came trouble. Cain, craftsman in all fields, skillful, artisticism, industrialization, modernization of the world came from Cain. Trouble means the power science has to form material matter instruments to contain the spirit. Jubal came. The musician makes a tub, and the spirit goes into that tub. It makes a sound he likes. It appeals not to his intellectual ear, but to his sensory ear. Not only the musical instrument, but the mold of industry is now becomes tools to house your spirit if you can form the material environment. So it can contain the spirit of the man. Then however you designed it, that's how his spirit will come out. Abel must have been the religious order, society that was here before the industrialists. And the industrialists killed his brother who was before him by hitting him in the head. One working to cultivate the spiritual life, moral nature, so human nature could be proper before God. The other was working to extract all the scientists out of the matter, universe. He got jealous of his brother because the people cared more for the service that Abel was doing than Cain. Cain went to take the admiration, influence from his brother. So Cain is the Western democracy. The industrialist wants to discredit the moral God, fearing man. He took up a stone, threw it, and hit his brother in the head. His blood soaked the ground, equals the blood is the life of the religious society. They have taken that science that was to feed wisdom to guide human behavior and taken it and made it just an appetite. They take it now only to appeal to their intellect instead of taking it and to know how to behave. Cain is the Western democracy. The people who manage the resources of the earth are those who war on the ability of the common man. Your main fight is not racism. It is fight It is a fight to defend your ability. So Quran Surah 5, Ayat 27 to 31, Abel Cain. Genesis 4, 2 to 15, Cain and Abel. Hadith. Hadith, ink of a scholar more precious than the blood of a mortal. 1 Corinthians 3, 2, meek said not meek, you not able to handle it. So what is the difference between their two sacrifices? One sacrifice was of the ground. His sacrifice was of the reed. The reed is a plant that grows straight up. Cain, that is where he gets his name. God didn't want his sacrifice. He wanted Abel's sacrifice. What was Abel's sacrifice? Abel's sacrifice was sheep. Cain read material logic. So the reed that Cain reads, straight reed, represents material logic. Material logic following a straight course. It must be consistent. You establish a premise. The second premise must support the first premise. They must follow consistent, but it doesn't have body. Its purpose is not to give body. Its purpose is only to establish a discipline. It is a logic. Its purpose is to establish a great non-violating discipline. So the reed got a big opening in it. Cain, the reed, got a big opening in it. Most of the reed grows up with a big hole in them. So he offered that to God. God does not accept that offering. Why? Because he didn't make the first offering. The acceptable is the sheep. You didn't offer the sheep. You offered the Cain. Oh, I'm going to give something to God, wisdom. I got some great material wisdom. I'm going to give this to the world. Well, this will make a great contribution to the world. The world's great material world offers great logic. I'm going to give them material. God says, where is your sheep? You ain't got none. You take your reed and jam it. Sheep was the sheep represents. Sheep represents human, sheep represents the human. The sheep is an animal that is in his attributes, is like the beauty of the human being. He's peaceful. He's not warlike. So this is the attributes that we love in the human being. So we love to see human beings loving and not proud, sociable, warm nature. So this is the sheep. Allah wants you to have that first. If you want to give him something, give him that. Show Allah that you are human, that you are warm-hearted. Show him that you are sociable nature with other human beings. Show him that your greatest worth that you have, you are charitable with it. Sheep, more wool, then need charity. So the sheep is a warm-natured animal. But look, he grows more wool than he needs. So you can take his wool and put it on you. Sacrifice only certain animals. So the Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 37, sacrifice your piety, not blood, reaches God. So you are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. We can't sacrifice any animals in the Hajj. Only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, goats. You can't go there with snakes and dogs, things like that. What is the meaning of sacrifice the sheep? If the sheep are so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrificing the sheep, you don't eat his blood. it is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for according to Scripture, but God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. He says that what you sacrifice to me on the altar doesn't come to me. So what is the meaning of this sacrifice of the sheep? It means that even that attribute in you must be a selfish attribute. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society. It should be for Allah. Meat represents knowledge. What should you give society? You give society the meat. What does that mean? What does the meat represent? It represents knowledge, the motivation. Give it to Allah. The drive, the motivation, the ambition, give to Allah. Submit to him. God, my will, my motivation, my ambition are all for you. It is not for political power. It is not to humanize society. God, it is for you. You are the number one for everything that I do. You are number one. I can't put society before you. Wouldn't I be wrong to say that I'm going to be human and humanitarian for society's sake? When Allah made me that like this and put this nature in me and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I'm being humanitarian for society's sake? I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. I am doing it to please Allah. Now I am obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book says, oh, a lot of people in religion, they can hardly make milk, but few know how to handle meat. Meat stands for the knowledge, the wisdom, the science. Sacrifice gives your ambition. So the sacrifice means you gave your humanitarian motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambitions, like the sheep gives for Allah's sake. If you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanitarianism will become a disease on society. Artificial humanism, having too many people lead us to an artificial humanitarianism. And over sheepless humanitarianism, where they become really sheep for the wolves of the world. We must connect this with martyrdom. So the highest contribution in jihad, martyrdom. What is the meaning of that? It is a sacrifice. Look at what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said. The ink of a scholar is more precious than the blood of the mortal. This is hadith that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said. Sacrifice your knowledge to common man. Just to make sacrifice of that nature for your faith's sake, to keep the knowledge that will elevate the common man from him. What kind of sacrifice is that? It is an inferior sacrifice. The greater contribution will be to make the sacrifice of your ambitions for God's sake, but also to give the common people the knowledge that you hold. Cain, the rational urge, killed Abel, moral, upright. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27 to 31, Abel, Cain. Genesis 4, 15, Cain. Whoever killed him gets sevenfold punishment. Bukhari, page 3, 624. Help brother when he's wrong. El Hadith, page 297, pardon me, and 78. Believer is mirror for brother. So in this religion, we accept that we are our brother's keeper. The book tells us that it is, the Bible tells us, of a son coming from the first man who was made or created, and that son turned him, his own brother, and slew him. And the Bible shows us that son having to live with the question, should I be my brother's keeper? And the Bible warns the people that if they identify such persons, don't kill him. It says to kill him would be seven times worse than his crime, meaning that the man Cain killed was a morally upright man, a man who was morally motivated. Now, if you were one who represents the urge for rational understanding in the world, even though the urge for rational understanding has brought the world under misery, brought the world into corruption, misery, and cruelty, we can't slay that particular urge in man. We must let it live. But there are some religious orders who say, slay that urge in man, don't they? They say you are not supposed to apply your rational faculties in their particular religious discipline. You are to feel your way spiritually and to cut off yourself, separate yourself from the desire to understand rationally. That is what they tell you. So we know we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, obligated us that if anyone gets a little knowledge, he doesn't have to be educated. All the people he was teaching were uneducated. Very few educated people were amongst him. They were people from foreign societies. So the people he was teaching was not educated people. And if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. If you can't understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in plain, ordinary sense of the word, of the holding or protecting your brother in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, help your brother, whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and the peace be upon you, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says, you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, the Muslim is a mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defects. If you look at it, if you turn towards the mirror, it is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. Your face is dirty. It is going to show you. If you have an ugly expression on your face, the mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is warped. But it is a straight mirror. It shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that shouldn't the strong assist the weak? Let us not be any longer victims of this society that synthesizes morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking that you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us now, that is their law, survival of the fittest. And they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who will be able, the one fit, the one that is destroyed, they weren't not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What do they call in science? Natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation. And those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. So thus to divine, the Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, man created from clay. From dust to divine, 3, development. 1, dust. 2, desire. 3, divine. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever, Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are 3 movements, growths of a person towards fulfillment of the manifestation of divine light. The first growth is called the growth out of dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust, out of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood, but this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second, growth, desire, appetite. The child then grows out of the dust, earth, and to the world of individual life. So this life is called the life of desire, and it is in this term of growth that the child develops appetite for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the world of divine life. So the world of divine life could only be called knowledge until manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was born truth and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The 3 wounds of darkness. The human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are 3 wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. When we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movements, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the 3 stages of development or the 3 growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. Human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the 3 growths or movements towards divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us from a kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the 3 rules the other 2. That is the divine person. Once you come out of the 3rd womb and that 3rd life has been made divine, The pure life of divine truth has now come and removed all falsehood. In Genesis, you have a man being made from dust. And then you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes its world. The divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all of the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own life, the atom of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is first, wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. So the first thing to know yourself as a growing and developing life with origin in divine. So you are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will is manifest by the divine power. Originally, we were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine life, the brilliant life of truth. It's elevating, it's enveloping us with this penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam is that body, the body Christ, in which you can grow into a full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge. Untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Allah. The Quran Surah 6 Ayah 2 created man from clay, then another term. Genesis 2:7, man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5:1-2, created him then. So when we are talking about the genesis of the birth of man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with the picture or the description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1-5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created he then and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible Genesis as the making or the forming of a people or a righteous community, human formed by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, paintings to be interpreted without interpretation. It only pictures painting for the mind of baby-like people. what is this, the Bible, is telling us about the creation of the genesis of man, or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning of a genesis of human beings. It is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born, as long as they are not considered people. You can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. Pardon me. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called sane world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. Pardon me. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world, or when he comes physically into adulthood. He is only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that God made that from clay, or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So thus to divine, the Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 2, man created from clay. From dust to divine, the three developments, one, dust, two, desire, three, design. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger Muhammad forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The man that you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growth of a person towards fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breatheth into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second, growth, desire, appetite. The child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. So this life is called the life of desire, and it is in the term of growth that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the world of divine life. So the world of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness. Its knowledge was both true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The three wounds of darkness, the human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development. and prevent this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of the development, or three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. Human growing constantly. So the human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths or movements toward divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules the other two. That is the divine person. Once you come out of the third wound and that third light has been made divine, the pure light of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. In the Genesis, you have a man being made from the dust. And then you have a city manifest from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. When you come into the world, you come into the world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by my creator. Every creature makes its world. So the divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all of the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own. The Atom of Divine Will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as a growing and developed life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world became observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents the divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. We are in the atom of divine will, and Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical world from to manifest the divine in us again. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light, the brilliant light of truth, is enveloping, penetrating rays of light, and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam is that body, the body of Christ, in which you can grow into full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Allah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, created man from clay, then another term, Genesis 2:7. Man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5:1-2. Created he them. So when we are talking about the genesis or the birth of man, it's habit or refers to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis, chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, as the making of the or forming of a people or a righteous community, human form by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, paintings, to be interpreted without interpretation, it only pictures paintings for the mind of baby-like people. Lit, what is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation or the genesis of man or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning or a genesis of human beings? It is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born, as long as they are not considered people. You can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Summarily, in the so-called sense world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form, but when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world, or when he comes physically into adulthood. He is only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay from it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that God made that from clay or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So human created inside of a human. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 17. Prophet not thrown, dust killed, but Allah. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 171, Jesus' word and spirit from God. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 4, God wants son, he takes from what he created. 40 Hadith, page 118, 38, Allah becomes your seer and hearing. Masjid Masiba, page 2. 471 and 650, Adam complained, vision. John 13:16, Jesus said, sent not greater than sender. Jesus, God says, in plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a female mate or a wife, and that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men all the men that we have on earth. And actually, he's referring mainly to, as he created man before man, his reference to prophets mostly. So we believe that God creates a person inside of the person. God creates a human inside of a human being. That a human being is born of a woman in this world, of flesh, and God can create the human being inside of that flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God. And we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe like the Christians believe, or I should say like the Christians express themselves or express the belief. Why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. I have come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak, and at the same time they are speaking, they don't recognize themselves. They recognize only God. So they'll be speaking in the first person. And I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person, and he spoke like that. So whenever God took over his presence, then it was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore, he spoke in the first person, and the people took him to be God. Not so. Where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon? As Muslim scholars, they say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from one soul, and of it I made, it's made, and span from the two men and women. If this was one, and God made of it a male, then he says, nefs and wahida, one soul, a person, in Quranic Arabic, particularly self, soul, person, all the same word, depend on how you use it in a sentence. So in the content that we find the beginning of man's creation, this nefs is soul, not a person, it's soul. And what is it saying? It's saying that the human soul, the beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of human life. You go in the jungle, you'll find primitive people not touched by civilization. And education, they are savages, and they like humanity. They are missing humanity. So the beginning of the humanity, or the beginning of the human person in humanity, is the beginning of that human being in his humanity. And it begins as one soul, and then God causes it to have its mate, the female, and they mate. And they produce, as God says in our holy book, women and men in great numbers. So we know that. That's not the case anymore. It's women in great numbers. Mother of the scholars. In fact, I haven't met the exception. I met some very uncomfortable with it, but they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are humanly equal to men, that they have the same capacity for intelligent development, for education, and also for assuming roles in society, whatever those roles are, that even their physical bodies can be developed to do what a man does physically. That's what we believe. Not that we want them to do that. We don't want them to do that. We don't want that kind intended. We don't want that God intended for them to take on that kind of role in society. Bismillah means baby can't talk. The Quran, Surah 9, Ayat 1 to 5, the merciful. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 30, Solomon wrote Sheba Bismillah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 94, you will return to us barren alone. Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. Sadaqallahu al-Adeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.